Bombardier's C-Series first test flight could be any day now. Laddie is on its way to the moon, and Lockheed Martin's flight service contract is extended. This is Aero News for Monday, September 9, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Bombardier's new narrow-bodied C-Series aircraft could be seen in the skies for the first time very soon now, since high-speed taxi runs have been completed. The taxi test up to 120 knots were run last Friday. Bombardier released a video of the test runs in Mirabel, Quebec. Reuters reports that the completion of final ground test and weather remain the biggest factors in determining how soon the C-Series will take to the sky for its first test flight, a step that has already been delayed three times. Industry analysts will watch that flight closely to see if Bombardier's claims about the efficiency improvements on the C-Series prove to be true. Competitors will be watching the performance of the aircraft's new generation Pratt & Whitney engines. Bombardier claims the C-Series will be lighter and more efficient than others in its class, resulting in a savings on both costs and fuel. NASA is going back to the moon. The Lunar Atmosphere and Dust Environment Explorer, or LADEE, observatory launched aboard a Minotaur 5 rocket from the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport at NASA's Wallops Flight Facility on Friday, September the 6th, in Virginia. LADEE is a robotic mission that will orbit the moon to gather detailed information about the lunar atmosphere, conditions near the surface, and environmental influences on lunar dust. A thorough understanding of these characteristics will address long-standing unknowns and help scientists understand other planetary bodies as well. LADEE is on its way to arrive at the moon in 30 days, then enter lunar orbit. LADEE is managed by NASA's Ames Research Center at Moffett Field, California. The FAA has extended Lockheed Martin's work providing flight planning and safety support to pilots under the Automated Flight Service Stations contract. The contract option period begins October 1st with a total value of $221 million over 2 years. Since 2005, Lockheed Martin Flight Services has modernized and improved delivery of general aviation flight planning services here in the United States. Pilots are now able to file and close flight plans with flight services online, receive text, email, and satellite alerts regarding dangerous conditions, and activate precise, life-saving search and rescue tracking capabilities. These technologies complement the expertise of Lockheed Martin Flight Service specialists who provide safe and efficient flight planning briefings to thousands of pilots annually via the telephone and in-flight radio. In 2012, the Lockheed Martin team filed more than 1 million flight plans for aviation pilots and provided more than 1.5 million pilot weather briefings. The avionics industry is on par to outperform sales from 2012, according to the second quarter avionics market report released by the Aircraft Electronics Association. In the months of April, May, and June 2013, total worldwide avionics sales amounted to more than $1.6 billion, as reported by the 20 aviation electronics manufacturers participating in the report. An experimental Skycraft SD-1 minisport has gone down in Spanish Forks, Utah, with the death of the test pilot, Jay Leslie. The aircraft, the only one flying in the United States at the moment, drew heavy interest at the recent AirVenture 2013 EAA fly-in. Skycraft Director of Marketing Paul Glavin confirmed that the last flight, following two prior flights in which stalls and spins were reportedly examined, included some attempts at what were described as barrel rolls. Eyewitness Tyler Ives told media reps that, quote, the first roll went well, but the second roll was faster, and at that point the pilot appeared to lose control of the airplane, end quote. Leslie was 40 years old, a police sergeant, and a certified flight instructor at the Spanish Fork-based Diamond Flight Center since March of 2009. The NTSB is investigating the accident. Seven general aviation organizations are asking the FAA to withdraw a proposed airworthiness directive affecting ECI cylinders used as aftermarket replacements on thousands of Continental Motors 520 and 550 engines. In a letter dated August 30th, the groups asked the FAA to withdraw its notice of proposed rulemaking and provide the data and analysis justifying the proposed airworthiness directive. Alternatively, The letter asked the FAA to provide the information and then give pilots and industry an additional 120 days to respond. When Aero News continues, United pilots welcome their returning brethren, citizens in space complete training, and one final toast.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, September the 9th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The United Master Executive Council of the Airline Pilots Association applauded United Airlines' announcement of the recall of all furloughed United pilots. In September 2008, United Airlines began laying off pilots, leading to a total of 1,437 pilots furloughed. Captain Jay Hefner, chairman of the United MEC, said, quote, "We welcome our brothers and sisters back with open arms. We have worked toward this day for more than 5 years. Now, all United pilots, together, can meet the challenges of our future as we build the world's best airline," end quote. Training classes for the recalled United pilots are scheduled to begin next month and run through the end of the year. Citizens in Space announced that 4 astronaut candidates have completed suborbital scientist training at the National Aerospace Training and Research Center, a premier aviation and space training, research, and education facility aimed at optimizing human performance in extreme environments. Maureen Adams, Lieutenant Colonel Steve Heck, United States Air Force retired, Michael Johnson, and Edward Wright have been selected by Citizens in Space to fly as payload operators on the X-Corps Lynx spacecraft. The 4 citizen astronaut candidates completed multiple centrifuge runs during the 3-day training course, simulating G-forces that will be encountered during a suborbital spaceflight. They also completed altitude chamber training at simulated altitudes up to 28,000 feet and a rapid decompression exercise. Citizens in Space, a project of the United States Rocket Academy, has purchased 10 flights on the X-Corps Lynx spacecraft, which it is making available to the citizen science community. Citizens in Space plans to fly 100 citizen science experiments and 10 citizen astronauts as payload operators. The Virginia Seaplane Pilots Association will host a seaplane splash-in on Saturday, October 5th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Lake Gaston Resort. This is an opportunity to watch seaplanes taking off and landing using water runways. The Virginia Department of Aviation, the Virginia Seaplane Pilots Association, the Mecklenburg-Brunswick Regional Airport, and the National Seaplane Pilots Association are joining together for the event, which is free and open to the public. This will be the second gathering of the Virginia chapter of the Seaplane Pilots Association, which is the first state to establish its own association. On April the 18th, 1942, 80 men achieved the unimaginable as they took off from an aircraft carrier on a top-secret mission to bomb Japan. Led by Lieutenant Colonel James H. Jimmy Doolittle, these men came to be known as the Doolittle Tokyo Raiders. Today, a mere 4 still survive. In 1959, the city of Tucson, Arizona, presented the Doolittle Raiders with a set of silver goblets, each bearing the name of one of the 80 men who flew on the mission. At each of their past reunions, the surviving Raiders would conduct their solemn goblet ceremony. After toasting the Raiders who died since their last meeting, they would then turn the deceased man's goblet upside down. The intent was for the tradition to continue to the last man, but that is not to be. The U.S. Air Force will host the famed Doolittle Tokyo Raiders' final toast to their fallen comrades during an invitation-only ceremony on November the 9th at the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force. The public will have an opportunity to celebrate these World War II aviation heroes that day through events that include a wreath-laying ceremony and a flyover of B-25 aircraft. As a young radio reporter back in the 1970s, I had the rare privilege of meeting and interviewing then-General Doolittle at one of those reunions in San Antonio, Texas. It was a heady experience to find oneself surrounded by so many genuine American heroes. I raise my glass to all of them. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks so much for listening. You're now cleared for departure.